Will you join me in prayer, please? Loving God, God of mercy and grace and compassion, we come to you with open hearts as we start this Lenten journey, as we struggle with the idea of forgiveness. We ask you, God, to come to us and give us the strength that we need. Amen. So here we are on our journey towards Holy Week, what will lead us to the cross and then to resurrection. On this first Sunday of Lent, you can tell it's special because we have on our church dresses. This is our Lenten season, and for those of you who were not able to be with us on Wednesday night for Ash Wednesday, what we did on Wednesday was we started Lent, as we always do, with Ash Wednesday. Every Wednesday throughout Lent, we have a worship service here where we will go deeper into the ideas of this season. And this year, the theme is forgiveness. So on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, where we come together and we focus on understanding our mortality, understanding that our time here is very short, reflecting on God's love for us in this life and beyond, we opened up this idea of forgiveness. So I think that forgiveness is probably the hardest thing of all of this Christianity stuff. The stuff that Jesus talked about, forgiving others, is probably the hardest part. It is challenging. And in the path to follow Christ, it is something that many of us stumble through. Part of the reason why we stumble is that there are a lot of misconceptions about what forgiveness means. And often, especially in a church context, forgiveness has been used in a way that is very harmful. At our retreat that was wonderfully created by our intern Craig Cranston a few weeks ago on forgiveness, one of the topics that came up was the ways that the expectation of forgiveness has been used to harm people, particularly anyone who is female, anyone who is LGBT, people of color, anyone who is oppressed in any way is often harmed more by the idea of forgiveness. Not by forgiveness itself, but by the things that people who are oppressed are told about the meaning of forgiveness. That righteous anger is not okay and we should just forgive. That we should feel lucky that we are allowed at the table and shouldn't, you know, make any noise. We should just forgive when we are wronged. Miroslav Volf, who is a Croatian-born theologian who is a professor at Yale, has written extensively on the topic of forgiveness. As you heard in the passage that Fig so wonderfully read this morning with some words we had to practice ahead of time, this idea of forgiveness is something that Volf really has struggled with. From another one of his books called Free of Charge, I want to share with you this idea of giving and forgiving, like we talked about with the kids' message today. He says, forgiveness is a special kind of gift. When we give, we seek the good of another, not our own good. Or at least we don't primarily seek our own good. The same is true of forgiveness. We forgive for another's sake, although we too may benefit from the results. But there is also an important difference between giving and forgiving, as our young ones helped us figure out this morning, those differences. He talks about when we give, we delight in the joy of others. When we forgive, it's because someone has wronged us. By forgiving, Wolf says, we release them from the burden of their wrongdoing. The difference lies in the violation suffered, in the burden of wrongdoing, offense, transgression, debt. That is what makes it more difficult to forgive than give. I mean, giving is fun, right? You come to that point in your life when you enter into maybe adulthood or your teen years where you suddenly realize that it actually is more fun to give a gift than to get a gift. Maybe not everyone's there, but I like it. Having someone else delight in something that you bought or made or thought up, created. What a wonderful feeling. Well, it's a little different with forgiveness. So what we heard today from the Gospel of Luke, known as the Sermon on the Plain, offers up some very challenging ideas about forgiveness and things that I would say in the history of Christianity have been taken out of context quite a lot. So in this culture of giving that existed in antiquity in the time that this scripture comes from, this was a giving culture, not giving out of the joy of your heart, but giving because it was all transactional. It was all about what can I get from a person, what can I give to a person that gives me better standing in the community. So Jesus talks about just give it. Just give. Give and don't expect anything, just give because it's the right thing to do. Giving without the hope of reciprocity. And this starts us on our path to forgiveness as well. The theological problem that exists in this passage is that it sounds perhaps like Jesus is encouraging passivity and encouraging permissiveness in the face of evil. This is an issue that scholars have grappled with and struggled with for millennia and often gets simplistically boiled down to, well, you just need to forgive. And what does that mean in conservative contexts, theologically conservative contexts, where ideas such as divorce are an absolute taboo and someone is being beaten by their spouse and they come to church and they come to their pastor and the pastor says, well, darling, you just got to forgive him, right? That's what gets taught because of this scripture, because this is the damage that is done when people do not put scripture into context, when people do not do a deep dive into the literature, a deep understanding of what scholars for hundreds of years have written and explored. You can easily look at it and say, we just got to forgive. And yes, absolutely, the person who is being beaten by their spouse can forgive. And maybe even should forgive for themselves, but there is a huge difference between forgiveness and permissiveness. In fact, I would wager that it is impossible to forgive if a person who needs to be forgiven doesn't realize that they need the forgiveness. If the answer in this hypothetical situation to this woman who is being beaten by her spouse is the spouse saying, well, she makes me mad. How could she forgive him? And I use a straight couple in this example, but we know that it happens in our community too. In fact, in our community, it's even harder to deal with because we fought so hard to be recognized for our relationships. And how can we show up and say that we are struggling? We're not struggling, don't worry. but I will say that I have struggled. And other times in my life, and the people who I have chosen to give my energy and my time and my love, haven't we all struggled? Romantic or friendships or otherwise, haven't we struggled? And when we put the loyalty to an idea over the what is good for our people, that is scary. That is why it is so hard to deal with issues of domestic violence in the LGBT community. And so when oppressed people hear this message of joy and freedom and hope, which it truly is, and it gets turned around into something else, and we are broken by it. The theologian Susan Hyland says, in these teachings, does Jesus call the listener to an endless cycle of violence? Should the faithful allow evil deeds to flourish, not only against oneself, but against others? How would such a message bring good news to the poor? And Jesus' point in this passage is, blessed are the poor. And says that we are to give everything to the poor. Now we know anyone who's, you know, walked down the street not far from here, walked through Ybor City, walked in my neighborhood, will find that there are people every block asking for their handout in need. And it breaks our hearts, right? And the reality is that it is actually impossible to give to everyone who asks. And we set up systems to help, you know, and sometimes when you say to someone, like, I actually don't have anything to give you, but I can tell you where there's dozens of food pantries in the area, usually the response is not, well, thank you so much. And that's because we've created a culture of dependency. And you know what? I don't care. If I give someone money and they go buy booze or whatever, people are doing what they got to do to survive, right? People are just trying to survive. And we can't always give. That is a reality. And does that make us bad people? Does that make us terrible followers of Christ? No, it just makes us people. When Jesus says, blessed are the poor, he's not only talking about the poor, although he is actually talking about those who do not have money, but he's talking also about those who are being discriminated against for following him. Now, I know there are a lot of Christians today who feel discriminated against as Christians. Well, that's a topic for another day. This is a different thing. This is people who lost their families, lost everything, gave up everything to follow Christ, and they were not met with hugs and warmth and love. They were met with a lot of prejudice, a lot of struggle, and Jesus just said to them, just hang on. Give your all in this moment, and your reward will be great. So what do we do with this language of turn the other cheek? What do we do with this idea that we give everything we have? I don't recommend Googling. I did some, I like to call it dangerous Googling. Like, I did some Googling, like, just what happens if I look up, I'm a Christian, should I forgive domestic abuse? That kind of thing. And there are lots of articles that say, you know, it is better to risk being beaten within an inch of your life than getting out. People who also have Rev in front of their name. And there are people who claim that essentially that being a Christian means being a doormat. Let's not conflate these two ideas. Let's not confuse this, because you can be truly, deeply loving and forgiving. Truly. You can walk a life of constantly giving to others and not be walked on. The Sermon on the Plain reminds us that everything in the world changed when Christ came. And think about this text being written in that time, that early time when everything was shifting, the power dynamics were changing, nothing was the same. And they're trying to stumble through and figure it out. Just like today, we are trying to stumble through and figure it out. Forgiveness will continue to be one of the hardest things we will do. And sometimes we can forgive in our hearts without opening a door to be harmed again. And sometimes we can open that door and take that risk, knowing we may be harmed. And sometimes it works out amazingly well. And sometimes it does not. And that is the struggle that we have as followers of Christ, discerning when and where and how to offer forgiveness. Which brings us back to Miroslav Volf and the passage that we heard this morning. When he was asked by Jorgen Moltmann, can he embrace a Chetnik? And says, no, but as a follower of Christ, he believes he should be able to. Can't we live in that space too? Those times that we're like, can't let this go. When we have been harmed, when we have been hurt, we can still live in that space, and we can even offer forgiveness in that space, remembering and honoring the pain that we have experienced in our lives. As we will explore continually in the following weeks, forgiveness is a process. Sometimes it includes reconciliation, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it is painful. Sometimes it is nothing but freeing. As followers of Christ, we are called to that journey. We are called to risk the heartbreak. We are called to risk doing the difficult things, the hard things, standing up for one another, protecting each other, protecting our hearts, and offering compassion, sometimes from a distance and sometimes up close. As the song we sang this morning says, forgiveness is the hardest thing to give away, right? The hardest thing. Will you join me in these weeks as we prepare to go to the cross? I invite you to think about a thing. It could be the biggest thing or just a minor thing, something that has been holding you back, something that weighs down your heart. You know those times when you wake up in the night and you can't get back to sleep and you just start ruminating on that thing that that person did and you're so mad? I invite you to hold that throughout Lent. And maybe when Christ is risen on Easter morning, you're still holding it. And that's okay, because this is a process. And maybe at some point in these next 5 weeks, you will let it go. And that's beautiful, because that's what this process is about. Whatever it is, what we know is that when we forgive in our hearts, it helps us. When we forgive in community, it helps community. In the coming weeks, we will also talk about reconciliation processes that have happened in large-scale ways and learn a little bit about where our hearts land in that. So as we embark on this Lenten journey, will you join me once again in prayer? Loving God, we come to you with our brokenness, with our need to be forgiven, with our struggles to offer forgiveness. Help us, God, to find that gift in our hearts. Help us to find that healing. Find the courage to be what you call us to be as followers of Christ. Amen.